Hi, this is totally PJ Souls, and you're listening to CineScare.
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is the super fan, Mr. Mark Piscati.
Hello, everybody.
And Mr. James Oster Jimmy O.
I'm back.
Back from the dead.
But yeah, basically.
He's
Guys,
alive.
He's alive, yes. This is a special night, though. It is our 50th episode, the big 5-0, I didn't know if we'd ever get this far, but we got this far.
And I'm not even 50 yet, and we've already hit 50 episodes.
Exactly.
Oh, knock it off. Yeah. That's just cruel, Joe.
Actually, I think only one of us has actually done 50 episodes, though. That would be me.
Yeah, it's only Matt.
I think I'm the only
good
one
good for
that
you,
missed,
though, by the
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Joe, but, you've only done 49.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hell, Jimmy's only been here a month and he's missed an episode.
Yeah.
I know, seriously. But Wasn't my fault.
So, you know what? I'm going to start us out tonight because I watched a couple movies that I got really excited about and that I watched a few things this week that I really loved. And so I'm going to start us out on what we watched recently. First, I'm going to talk about a little movie called The Devil's Candy. I really enjoyed this. Have you guys seen The Devil's Candy? Did you guys watch that? Or
I have not.
I saw it years ago, and that's with Devin Swa, correct?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was 2015. What do you mean by years ago?
Well,
like 7 years
ago.
Okay.
Like
okay.
Seven.
Okay. Well, I mean, when you said it, it sounded like the 80s or whatever, and I was like, are you
I invented that film.
Yeah, years ago, back in 18.
I'm 50 now.
Back,
I'm just like,
back in six.
My bones are like creaking. Everything seems like so long ago now.
Back in the aughts. But anyway, no, it came out in 2015, and this is a really good sort of a possession story slash there's a little bit of almost serial killer-ish kind of vibe to it. And it's about a family that buys a house, you know, kind of a typical story. They buy a house for cheap, right? But obviously there's something wrong going on. It stars Ethan Embry, Shiri Appleby, Pruitt Taylor Vince, who's I think the daughter, and she was really good in it. But it's a pretty good movie and one that I highly highly recommend that you check out. And it's kind of got a metal vibe to it, I guess. Jimmy, did you say you saw it or no?
I did not. I remember wanting to, but yeah, I never got around to it.
I mean, me too. I had heard about it years ago. I'd heard about it. And
decades.
And,
back in '04, I heard of this.
Back in '05.
What is ought? I don't understand that.
Ought is
it's
what?
Zero.
It's zero, the 08, 09, 07, 06, 05.
Oh, you guys are so smart.
Back in the olden times in the early 1900s, people would say the aughts back then. 1904. So, anyway.
Why did people say that? That's really annoying.
I don't know, but they pulled it out again for our newer aughts that happened while
they back. They ought to stop doing that.
Oh.
Yeah, they ought to.
Where are the sound effects? There we go.
No, that was great.
No, that was good. I like that one.
There you go.
No crickets. This is a good one.
That was bad. And then I think most of us watched this, if not all of us, Prey, which has quickly risen to the top of my list this year. I absolutely loved this movie. And I didn't realize it was going to be coming out that weekend. And it was, what, 2 weekends ago? I think it was the same. In fact, I think it came out the same day that our last episode came out. And and I saw it pop up on my phone that it was released that Friday night. And so I popped it on, and I absolutely love this movie. I thought the action was fantastic. I thought the acting was great. I love Amber Midthunder. I had loved her in the show, which I highly recommend the show Legion if you've never watched it. Great, great.
What are you talking
show.
About? That was Aubrey Plaza from Parks and Rec.
No, it was Amber Midthunder. But they do
just,
look alike.
The whole time she looked like look Aubrey alike. Plaza. Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is that Aubrey – what's her name? Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah.
She was also on Legion. Both of them were on Legion, but no, it's Amber Midthunder. And, she's fantastic. I loved the whole, thing with the Europeans. That whole part of it was great. And there were some fight scenes. That one fight scene where she's fighting in the European camp, I think it's a bunch of French traders or whatever. Terrific.
Yeah.
I just thought it was fun as hell. One of the funnest times I've had watching a movie in a while. So I had a blast with this one.
It was.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I thought it's the second best Predator out of the series, in my opinion.
What's your favorite Predator?
Believe it or not, Predators with Adrian Brody.
I
don't know why.
One.
Yeah, it was directed by Robert Rodriguez. It started off with them, you know, just falling out of the sky. I thought it was great it all the way through. But this is my second favorite. I liked it better than the original, believe it or not. It's the meanest, badass Predator I think we received out of all these films, of all of them.
I thought
he was a badass. Some of the CGI was a little bit okay, a little blah blah.
Yeah, I thought there were some sections with the bear, even though they interspersed it with a real bear at times. I thought some of that section, it took a little bit away with the CG.
I just loved how simple it was. You know, it was just simple. Besides the last Predator that we got. From Shane Black, I thought this was like the most simple way to do it. They're coming out with a sequel. It's already been
not a surprise. Not a surprise.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So.
Well,
so
and
I'm
thought it was.
To it.
I thought it was pretty cool, the Native American side to things, and I didn't watch. I'm meaning to still get to watch the. Is it Comanche version that's in the Comanche language?
Right.
I guess they shot a version completely in Comanche. And so
that's cool.
I'd like to go back and watch that. I don't know if there's a difference. Like, I don't think it's dubbed or anything, so I'm not sure if they did each scene twice, or at least spoken scenes twice or whatever. But before we get to Joe, because I know you watched it too, I don't know if you saw this or not, Joe, but there's a little bit of a controversy about this movie online. Not a controversy, but there were people arguing on a forum I saw about the archery. The guy who taught them the Comanche fighting skills I saw in a YouTube video this guy saying that, you know, breaking down, he thought that the Comanches did use the three-quarter pull had at the angle, you know, the bow at the angle or whatever, but the hand grip was like a invert, or what do they call that, like an inverted hand grip. And so this guy did this video saying all this stuff, and then people commented. There was a guy who was an expert on Comanche warfare, and he said, no, that three-quarter pull is the right one. And they might have done it. There was like this huge argument I was reading online about whether or not the archery was was authentic or not. And I thought to myself, fucking A, if Joe hated this movie because he didn't like the archery, I'm going to literally explode on camera right now.
Thank God we're not going to have Matt explode, because I liked it. I didn't give two shits about how they pulled back that bow. Although I will say,
I noticed when I watched it, I was like, would they have pulled it like that? Like, is that how somebody would pull a bow like that? But I guess if you have it in that, I don't know.
But it's back then, there's no universal teaching skill for that, like across the country, true. Like there is now. Yeah. So I'm sure that tribe could have shot completely different than the tribe down the road. You know, who
that's
cares?
True. Yeah, that's
as long
true.
As they got the animal they were trying to kill so they could eat dinner that day.
Right.
I don't think they cared.
Yeah, that's like, true.
So, and who even cares about that? I mean, it when he's, you know, the brother was leaping literally over the 10-foot predator anyways.
Yeah. I don't want to paint this as being, as these guys were saying, it wasn't a good movie. They all liked it. And even the guy who did the video said, I really enjoyed the movie. They were just breaking down that aspect of it, was just the archery. And it was a bunch of archery, like, and historical fighting guys who were arguing back and forth. It was just an interesting conversation, but they weren't saying they didn't like the movie because of that.
And I'm not going to get into it, but like we teach, there's an 11-step process before you're done shooting that arrow. We teach all of our kids, there's 11 steps you have to go through to shoot. But that's totally,
what's a different
unapplicable. Oh yeah. I mean, their goal back then was to hit a target. Same with ours. We've got all the time in the world to shoot that arrow. They do not.
Right.
So however works for them, works for them. But that being said, enough of archery talk.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
This movie was fantastic. I agree with Mark in the sense that this is my second favorite, but my first favorite is still the original. Because I just think without that, we wouldn't have had, you know, laid all the groundwork. It's a classic.
It's full of the chopper. It's great. It's, you know, Dylan, you son of a bitch. You know, it's great. It's fantastic. Yeah.
I enjoyed those biceps, you know, high-fiving each other. That's,
I got him.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the first one. I didn't love it. So this is hands down my favorite. Like,
Mark, are you selling tickets?
Huh?
Are you selling tickets to the gun show?
Oh, wow. Look at that.
But
oh, Mark needs a carry conceal permit. Then. Oh, sorry, I'm too busy cracking them.
See, that's the problem with you being in charge of the soundboard. Is you're the one making the joke.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah.
Jimmy, did you watch Prey?
It was a struggle to watch anything while I had COVID, so I did not. I haven't got a chance to watch it, which bums me out.
Watch it as soon as you can, so that we can make it CineScare certified, because I have a feeling you're going to love it.
No doubt.
But now we have four people to worry about making things CineScare certified. So,
I thought when you said about the controversy, you're going to bring up, how did this Indian woman, fight a predator when, you know, with the originals, and what a bunch of bullshit that is. Oh, it drove me insane.
Yeah. No, I had no problem with that, and I just enjoyed it the whole time. So anyway, we're nearly CineScare certified with that one. And let's
my
see.
Next time, I promise. I'll let you know. I do plan on watching it soon.
Excellent. And then this weekend, I know you guys saw a different movie that opened this weekend, but I decided to go see the other movie that opened this weekend, and that was Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. And I enjoyed that one a lot. I'm still wavering back and forth whether it's 3.5 stars or 4 stars. There were some parts of it I thought were great, great, great. And then I'm still not sure how I feel about the ending. I didn't hate it. I liked it. I don't know that I loved it. So I'm still thinking about it, which actually is the sign of a pretty good movie if you're still thinking about it days later. But what I really enjoyed about it is that it's sort of, I was expecting more of a slasher. I think Mark even mentioned in our chat group that he thought it was maybe going to be like a Scream kind of thing. And it's not. Mm-hmm. It's more of a like a Clue. It's a bunch of people in a country house stuck together because there's a hurricane, a storm. You know, it's the typical country house murder mystery that has been around for 150 years in British literature.
Since where ought people, four.
Yeah, ought four for, yeah. for Mark. Agatha Christie and all of the, you know, there were a lot of examples of it. And the most recent one that's been very popular, of course, well, I guess not recent, was Clue is the classic, yeah. I think, of this genre, too. And it's
playing it's, to the side of my face. I'm sorry. I love that line.
Hmm. That might be our bumper. I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Usually I'm a little annoyed by Pete Davidson, and I wasn't in this. I thought he was pretty – he was fine, and the rest of the cast was great. And so definitely worth checking out. I do recommend it. So
I would give you a – yeah, I give that one a thumbs up myself.
It did you see – you saw that one too?
I did the junket for it, so I got to see it a couple of weeks ago. And I was – it was one of those I didn't actually love it when I first saw it. I was like, this is kind of, I don't really know if I like any of these characters at all. Just, I think they're kind of awful people. But then I kind of, as I thought about it and I talked to the, you know, the people involved, I was kind of like, oh, well, you know, there's a, it's, they are going for a specific style of, you know, the YouTube generation, the TikTokers, the influencers. And once I got that in my head, I was like, well, that makes absolute sense. And I kind of,
right.
Yeah, it's really, the more I think about it, I want to watch it again. I really enjoyed it. Really, I love the girl. Kinda, all of them.
I see what you, I saw, or I felt kind of the same way, is that really not many of the characters are particularly likable. They're, you know, but they're not completely unlikable. And,
no, they're not terrible. They're not terrible. They're
and
just,
if you, would you realize, when you think about it, that it's a dark comedy and,
yeah.
and sort of a social satire, then it makes sense that the characters shouldn't really be all that likable.
Think something like Heathers, you know, as opposed
yeah.
to something, you know, more slasher like Scream.
Scream.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Joe, what did you watch? Anything that we haven't talked about?
A couple of days ago, I watched Needful Things, which I have never actually sat through the entire thing.
Yeah, I've never seen that either, yeah.
I've seen, actually, I think the ending a handful of times, but I've never actually started it and watched all the way to the end. It's really good. I enjoyed it. However, I'm also maybe 80 pages away from finishing Salem's Lot, which I had never read or seen and still have not seen. And
oh, wow.
Again, this is just really pinpointing how Stephen King in his writings, he'll take a theme of something and he will repeat that in several.
Yeah.
For example, in Needful Things, this guy from what the kid originally thinks is from Europe opens up this store of antiquities. Well, the same sort of thing happens in Salem's Lot. So but that being said, Bonnie Bedelia, you know, from Mrs. Holly Gennaro from Die Hard is in it. Ed Harris,
love her.
It's a fantastic film. Things really get out of hand in this. The general synopsis of this is a gentleman comes into this small town, opens up a shop of antiquities, and people start coming in and they're finding the things that they really desire the most at this store, but everything that they get comes with a price, and the town sort of turns on each other. And it's a great little thrill ride. It's a fantastic movie. I know it's decades old, but I really think it's something worth rewatching even if you have seen it. So
You read the book?
Von Sydow was the gentleman with the antique store.
Yeah, Max von Sydow.
Great guy.
Oh, I have not read the book, Matt. No.
It's thick.
It's thick. And it was in that period of very wordy Stephen King books.
Like Salem's Lot, where he spends a page and a half talking about the color of a guy's shirt or something. It's just, oh, yeah. My God.
And it, I,
nice
I,
shirt,
I, but I liked it. But I didn't love it, and it was a bit of a struggle to get through. He's got the hometown, the very small town sheriff, you know, and yep. and a lot of very Stephen King characters in it. You
yeah,
know.
It's a very Stephen King-y type of movie.
Exactly. Yeah. And then on Friday night, I watched Day Shift. Did anybody watch that on Netflix?
No, I want to.
I saw really bad reviews for this.
And they are accurate.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
it
shame.
Starts off, it's a great concept. Jamie Foxx, Dave Franco are in it. It's basically a comedy Men in Black type film, except they're hunting vampires. And there's little twists on the whole vampire lore here and there. But it's really just nothing but fan service. And okay. It gets really corny and hokey towards the end. So, and again, it's probably, I don't know, half an hour longer than it should have been.
No, that's
a shame.
I hear the explosions are really horrific in it.
Yeah, they're not great. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Gosh. Love Dave Franco, too. I'm hoping for him to have that big breakout because I loved his directorial, the Rental. That was so good. It was so unique. I like that guy. I want to see him succeed.
His big joke in the whole movie is he's scared of, you know, hunting these vampires, and every time he does it, he pisses himself. That's the best joke in the whole, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's the only one that, he could pull that off, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then lastly, on Friday, I also saw, as so did Mark, The Fall, or just Fall, I should say.
Yeah, Fall.
I'm sure most of these people by now have seen the trailer, but it's the story of these two girls that are climbing obsessed, and one of them has an accident. She loses her fiance, but over the years she manages to struggle and get over that fear, and she climbs up this TV tower that's over 2,000 feet tall, and it's in the middle of nowhere. And I'm thinking, all right, I know that the Sears Tower is 1,353 feet. So that means this is even taller than that. And I can't even fathom being up that high, let alone being up that high on a TV tower.
Yeah.
So as I'm watching this movie, I don't necessarily have a fear of heights or a fear of falling or any of that, but it's still, you would think it's a movie in a box. You know, how interesting can this be? Because after 39 minutes of the movie, they're already trapped on the tower and they can't get down. So how can this be? Where the hell can this story go? Trust me, it's still on the edge of your seat for another hour of this film.
Wow.
It was fantastic. I gave this thing like 4.5 stars out of 5.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I had sweaty palms watching this thing. I loved it.
Yeah, it's not a bad film. It's a butt clencher, to be quite honest. It's a movie to get an honest response from the audience. And these two girls who are stranded on this tower, you have to wonder how the hell they're going to get down. There's a lot of close calls, and when it happened, I was like, bumpers later, guys. But yeah, the huge butt clenching scenes. If a movie gets me doing that,
if he says butt clenching one more time, Joe,
butt clenching is the new bumper.
It really is.
So look, listen. So if the movie
butt
gets
is
me
clenched.
Doing the,
yeah, Mark,
if
a
movie
have,
gets me doing that,
damn it, Joe,
this movie is doing something right now. I'm not scared of heights, you know, like as Joe, but if you are, then this movie is for you. Now, I had some problems with this movie. The side plots, the beginning of the film is kind of like a Vertical Limit with Chris O'Donnell, in my opinion. But it's also 145 minutes long, a little too long, in my opinion. And the side plots were a little forced, in my opinion. But the acting of these two women held it together. All in all, I give this movie a 4 cuts. Really, really enjoyable to watch. And I really enjoyed it. It was a fun movie experience with the people I was with. There was probably like maybe over 20 people in the movie theater. There were a lot of gasps. And I enjoyed the movie experience. Nobody had their phones out. Nobody was, you know, looking at their Apple Watches. It was just everybody was focused. So it was actually more of an enjoyable movie experience that I've had recently. So, yeah.
I love how Mark says the word bunch clenching on the day of my first colonoscopy.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, no.
It's meant to be.
Somebody's going to get an email.
How was the show?
It's utterly fantastic, Mark. I highly recommend you get one every year. I do want to say something back about the movie. There are very predictable scenes in there. This is not, there are like two twists in this movie that I was caught off guard by, but all the things that you think, you know, like, oh, I know what's going to happen. It happens. But when it does, it's still so tense that it's satisfying. Mm. Like, I'm glad that it happened. It almost is a relief because the thing that you think is going to happen, you're not looking forward to watching it. Because it's just going to be so stressful.
Mm.
So,
oh, wow.
It's a fun film, guys.
Yeah, it's a real, you know, basic, in-your-face, hey, this is what's going to happen. There's no big twist at the end. But,
Yeah, the CGI at the beginning does not compare to what you see at the tower. They're on the tower. For some reason, I don't know what happened, but the CGI at the beginning was not good. But the rest of it, on point.
Probably a budget thing. Probably like they had enough to really, they knew what they had to go for. They're probably like, well, the beginning doesn't look great, but once they're in, they're fine. That's what it sounds like.
I actually, while watching this, I kept thinking to myself, oh my God, how are they filming this? Mm-hmm. Because it had me convinced. I'm like, oh my God, they really got these girls up on a tower. Yeah. A
lot of vertigo shots.
So,
yeah.
But anyway, that's it's fall. I highly recommend it. I think you should see it in theaters. Don't wait. Don't wait for it to come to video because you'll miss the experience.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Yeah, that looks like a good theater movie to see.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
And then I saw Prey, but we already loved that movie. So that was it.
Jimmy, I'm assuming you didn't really watch anything other than what we have to watch for the theme, right?
Yeah, and even then I didn't make it. But I did watch one thing. I actually started watching, before I got really, really sick and couldn't watch anything, I started watching Primal on Netflix. It's a series about a caveman and a dinosaur, and there's no dialogue. The first episode, I'm like watching this, I'm like, okay, it's a caveman and it's a dinosaur. Oh my gosh, they eat the family. Oh my gosh. I suddenly found myself crying in tears. It is beautiful. It is really well done. The animation is beautiful.
Animated?
Energy. It's animated. And it's just, it's dialogue-free. Like, I think maybe here or there something, but like, yeah, it's just, I'm actually going to watch a show, and I haven't watched a series in a long time, so I'm looking forward to this journey. So that's it.
I did have one update. I just wanted to let everybody know that since the last time we recorded, I have not watched Mad God.
Oh. Wow,
shocking.
Yeah,
I know. Shocking.
Mark, anything other than what we've already talked about that you watched?
I did watch a film. I watched Shark Side of the Moon.
Oh yeah.
Jesus, that clip you sent me is priceless.
It's so damn awful. It's so damn great.
It's a Tubi original. How could it be?
It's
awful?
A Tubi original. Oh, is it good? It's good.
I know nothing about this film other than apparently there's people on the moon. But the space helmets typically in outer space should come to the neck so the atmosphere can't get in.
It gets better. It gets better. So real quick, because I know we're running a little long.
We're at a half hour already.
I know. We haven't talked much, really. So basically, Russians are making a humanoid shark, and in 2 minutes and 19 seconds into it, you realize that these humanoid sharks can converse in Russian.
Telepathy.
The sharks escape, and it's horrible CGI, and they have legs, they have arms. It's like oh man, I don't know what that cartoon is.
They have legs and arms.
Shark like in Suicide Squad?
Yes, like that. But worse. So they're more slimmer.
Yeah, that was actually good.
Yeah.
So anyways, they escape and they chase the Russian scientists on the space shuttle, and it takes off to the moon. So it's like 14 years later, and the Americans decide to shoot off to the moon, and they hit a satellite. They have to crash land on the dark side of the moon. And so then they're
kind of dark side. Mark?
Sharks.
Yes.
I don't want you to spoil this for me, because I do plan on watching this.
Okay, but I'm just getting to this one point, Okay. So the astronauts are walking, and then you see the fins coming out of the moon's surface, coming towards them, and it kills one of them. But wait, here it comes. The Russian comes out, and with this young girl, they're not in an astronaut suit. They're just out on the Earth. Without oxygen.
On the moon? You mean the moon?
On the moon. And they're talking to them. And then one of the astronauts says, he's going, how can you breathe? They don't even tell you why. They're just on the moon. Joe, please watch this film. It's great.
Did they have breakfast and lunch together?
It's
what?
I know where you're going with that, but they did that just with the scene, just like Aliens and Alien. You know, they did that. Just never mind. And alligators are from Africa.
What's our theme
alligators
for the week?
Are?
Yes, alligators are.
What the
They're from
hell?
Africa.
You mean the Florida State Seminoles?
Florida State.
Yeah, they are.
So there's no alligators in Florida? Is that what you're saying?
No, there are alligators in Florida, but
they there's no crocodiles in Florida.
Wow.
There are crocodiles
there
in Florida.
There are crocodiles in Florida, but they came from Africa.
No, last time Mark said no, crocodiles are from
they
Africa.
All got a, they all but, got on a boat and they migrated over.
Which completely ignores Crocodile Dundee, who's from Australia, for God's sake.
Joe, some of them had to fly. I mean, it was just easier for them to pack a luggage and hop on the Spirit, you know?
Okay, so is that all, Mark? Did you do anything else or watch anything else?
No, I think the better question is, did you do anything else?
All right.
Nope.
So, you assholes. I tried, okay?
That's what makes
you
it beautiful.
You did good, Mark. You did good.
Bastard. Good job, Mark. So this week is my pick. And sweet Jesus, let's see.
When animals
attack is my theme for this
week. Aminals attack.
Aminals attack. And why did I pick this theme, Joe? You might ask. Well,
I have asked for 2 weeks now.
Well, you didn't like the picks.
I like some of them.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. That's what this whole show's about.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay, go.
Spoiler alert, God.
You didn't like them? I mean, I don't know that I liked all of them myself, but I
liked them a lot more than aquatic horror, but ahead.
Well,
that
goes without saying.
Yeah, God, thank God I was out for that one.
Agree, Matt's picks were way better than my picks.
That was so bad that Jimmy just decided not to show up.
Right, I know. Mark's next pick, I'm going to be licking doorknobs.
I was like desperate. I'm like, what can I say? You know, I have COVID. Yeah, that's why I can't do it.
COVID. Yeah.
I know. I mean, before Mark's next pick, I'm going to be licking doorknobs and breathing in people's faces.
I'm going to do a really good job next time. I promise.
That's what you said.
You heard it here first. Yeah.
Okay. So it is Animals Attack. And so the first movie that I want to talk about, I'm going to go in chronological order here for no apparent reason, but just because that's the way I like it. And the first one, of course, is a little ditty from 1976 called Grizzly. And this is one, this is, I mean, it's basically, it came out in 76. It was a total Jaws ripoff. And it was directed by William Girdler. We should have a Girdler festival.
Oh my gosh.
I love the name. Love it. And it's about a park ranger. I don't know. I don't think they ever explained why the bear came into this forest or where it had been all this time. It's a pretty large bear for no one to have known where it came from or what it is. I think they do have people who track these things, but apparently the 2,000 pound, 15 foot bear slipped past them. So anyway, he comes and he eats some people. And it goes through the whole thing where, you know, there's a big search out in the woods. And of course, one by one, these people get picked off. I can't remember if there's any nudity in this. Was there? Was there gratuitous?
Yes. Yes, there is one. A skinny dipping scene.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No, she didn't take off all her clothes. She had a bra on.
Yeah, she had a bra on and underwear on. I don't know if there was. Yeah, I don't think so. Because and then the two girls who went camping together, you know, they didn't wind up doing anything.
There's no nudity in it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then the one
ADR on that scene.
But yeah. I did find it funny since you mentioned it, the skinny dipping scene. The girl is supposed to be, isn't she a park ranger or something? And they're
she's
supposed
a park
to be,
ranger.
They're supposed to be searching.
Soak her feet. She's just supposed to soak her feet. Yeah. And instead of soaking her feet, she decides to just get into her underwear and then go.
As one does.
And
on a search party.
And goes underneath the waterfall. And you get a fake bear claw.
Yeah. And I love the scene where the girls that who are camping get attacked and their attempt to have them flying through the air and all of that was just absolutely hilarious. And then the one girl goes and hides in the cabin and her death scene is basically just her sort of flailing back and forth a couple times.
I thought the first two kills were a little brutal. I didn't mind the first two kills.
Body parts and shit. I mean, stuff happened at least.
We have a horse head. Just literally decapitated, which was out of the blue. I wasn't expecting that. But I mean, this film is basically Jaws beat for beat. I mean, they did the chase scene with the helicopter and the grizzly. And it was the same scene as they tried to get the John Williams score with the helicopter.
They rip it off, yeah.
Where the ranger is actually smiling, like enjoying, hey, this is great. You know, he's going, look at that bear go. I mean, that's what they said like twice.
And they had the grizzled, you know, hunter who was sort of like, what's his name?
Quint.
Yeah,
Quint.
On Jaws, yeah. Very similar. But Joe watched.
They even had like, wasn't it a mayor or somebody that said they were going to close the park? And I'm like, close the park? You mean close the beaches on the 4th of July?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is our busy season. But Joe watched the...
I brought the press.
The Riff Trax version. How was that? I watched a little bit of it.
The Riff Trax version was priceless. I was so glad that existed because it made this much more entertaining. Like I'm sitting there watching it with you guys and we're cracking jokes about it. So but no, if you get a chance, I'd highly recommend watching that version.
I love
what version was that on? Like what streaming?
I think it was Tubi.
Yeah, Tubi.
Yeah.
I didn't see it on Tubi. I just saw the original on Tubi.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, Mark. I can't find this stuff for you.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, I love it, too. And you told us that was the version you watched. And Mark gets these rules in his head that
No, don't you know the rules?
Don't you know the rules?
There's like, certain rules to watching rules. This film.
You got to watch the actual movie now.
Watching Sinister rules. No, there is, kind of. I mean,
Jimmy, do you remember watching this?
No, I did. This is one I watched. I'm a sucker for those kinds of 70s animals attack, like frogs and shit like that. I love so. But I was watching this, and I'm like, it really had, you know, when it gets to the guy in the whatever the thing where he stands to watch for forest fires and shit like that, and he's the bear's like pushing that thing down the tower, pushing that thing down. I kept thinking, oh, he's so cute.
Yeah.
I want to pet the bear.
How did you
I
get
love
that bear
him
to do that? Yeah,
he's so cute. So I love the bear. I was rooting for the bear the whole time. Really.
Yeah.
You know, he's cute. Come on.
I love how they kill the bear at the end with a giant t-shirt cannon.
It was a bazooka, wasn't it?
It looked
wasn't
more like
a
t-shirt
bazooka
cannon
to me. Yeah,
it looked ridiculous.
That was in my notes. It's like, it was like a rocket launcher. It's like, it just brings out a rocket launcher out of the helicopter. And then, when the grizzly explodes, you'd think there'd be some body parts. It's just kerosene on the grass burning.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, this was my first time watching Grizzly, and it was a movie I watched, but I was laughing. I found out that it was, I mean, talk about beat for beat with Jaws when he's in the restaurant chewing on ice cubes. He's going on, I don't even know what the hell I'm doing. I'm just chewing on ice cubes, and it's like beat for beat. I mean, that scene was when he's at the dinner table, you know, with the folding, you know, of the fingers and all that. It's so beat for beat. I'm just going, holy shit.
They have the medical examiner that's basically the same line as saying, this was no boating accident.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and the guy was trying to say it wasn't a grizzly bear.
Yeah, what did they say it was originally?
I don't remember.
It was just a serial killer.
Yeah, something. Yeah. They even had like their own Kittner boy, you know?
Yeah, they did.
Yep, they did.
They put the Kittner boy in there with the bunny.
And
yeah,
what's
it was
with
a
the
total ripoff.
And although I love some of the writing in this is priceless. Of course, this is back when they had, you know, when racism was endearing and the helicopter guys referring to them as gooks.
Yeah.
Like, that really wouldn't pass to this. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then,
there's a couple moments. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, no.
Mark was probably
just
sitting there like a big bag of grits.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, no, it was, I remember that too.
Yeah.
So, well, anyway, we can move on. That's a good segue, Joe.
Yeah.
Yes. Saigon! Just like Die Hard shit.
Yeah, good segue to a movie that I really did enjoy, and that is Alligator from 1980. This is, of course, a baby alligator, a little girl. This is a very strange setup because...
Great, because I have a question about it.
Yeah, there's a family that's on vacation in Florida, and they're at like one of those tourist trap things, and this guy talks her into buying a baby alligator, right? So her family
is
fine.
Part.
No, wait.
Nope,
no,
this is
the
beginning.
It wasn't Florida.
No, you skipped
it was
a
Missouri.
They're at an alligator ranch, and there's an alligator like handler or wrangler in the water with him. And it opens up with this guy getting his arm bitten off by an alligator.
Yeah,
and then they convince this guy to buy a baby alligator and take him home.
To buy one. Right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I have to like intervene because the funniest part I thought like almost in the whole entire film was the announcer while he's getting his leg chewed apart. The announcer's just going, "No, everything's just fine, folks, and everything's great." It's like it keeps going. People are screaming, it's going, "Somebody needs to help him." Yeah, he's just alligator wrestling. Well, you sure came to see something that you always wanted to see. Oh my God, I loved it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the little girl buys the an alligator. They bring it, and the family's okay with it when she buys it. But then suddenly, they get home and the dad's like, ah, I'm going to flush it down the toilet, you know? And so they flush the little alligator down the toilet. It goes, they're in Chicago. They live in Chicago. It goes into the sewers of Chicago, and over the next several years, I don't remember how many it was, 15, 12, 15 years, something like that.
12 years.
12 years. Alligator begin, you know, it's eating probably rats or whatever, but there is also a lab that it does experiments on animals, and they buy all these dogs and do experiments on them. When they're done, they dump them in the sewer. Well, that's what this alligator's been feasting on, are these contaminated dead animals. And apparently it's part of some experiment that this lab's been doing to create, I don't know, I guess super dogs. I'm not exactly sure what they were hoping to get out of it. But and so it becomes
they were trying to produce bigger animals for more food.
Yeah. And so what they get to years later, this alligator is ginormous, bigger than most alligators or any alligators, and it starts eating people and eventually makes its way out of the sewer system. But this movie stars the wonderful Robert Forster, who gives a bit of gravitas to the whole proceedings, and a pretty good cast. You know, it's overall, I thought, a pretty solid cast for what kind of a movie it is. This thing could easily have been another Grizzly, but I thought that the direction was by Lewis Teague, who also directed Cujo, by the way, and Cat's Eye, Jewel of the Nile. I thought he did a pretty good job of taking the material. When you think about the script of this thing, it's not a great script, but there was something better about this than most of that genre that came out.
You know,
that
the script is actually better, in my opinion. The script's a lot smarter than you think it is watching this movie. This is, if I'm not mistaken, it's John Sayles.
John,
right?
Sayles, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he, it's the same thing with Piranha. He went and he said, I know what I'm making. I'm making a satire. This isn't a horror film. This is a satire and all the Jaws ripoffs. And that's why it's like, yeah, he has the cheesy, corny stuff in there. It's on purpose. This script knows exactly what it is, and I think why it's
a self-aware
so much
movie.
More fun. Yeah, and it's because of that, you're like, I feel like I'm in on the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a self-aware movie.
I think it was a little
bit. Very much was.
Jimmy and I already agreed on that. Yeah, it was self-aware.
Yeah, we agree.
Well, Matt hasn't agreed yet. You know, okay, could be a fucking tie, Joe.
I'll agree with that too. It was okay, the cinematography was also done by Joseph Mangine, who, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, who also did the cinematography of The Sword and the Sorcerer, which was a movie I really kind of liked I think it was in the 80s, late 70s, something like that.
I love The Sword and the Sorcerer so much with the triple blade swords that shoot out. Uh-huh. Is that the movie you're talking about, right?
The triple blade sword, right?
Hell yes, I love that movie.
Is that 1982. The Disney one where the kid pulls
the sword
out of the...
No, it's not a Disney. Trust me, it's not a Disney. No. It's a great film.
I really like that.
One of my favorite Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay,
film.
Back to the movie that we actually watched. Sorry. I just want to point out that Sidney Lassick was in this. Sidney Lassick from Mark and His Erections. Sidney Lassick, who played the pet store owner, who was also in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, he was fantastic in this film.
Oh, yes, yeah.
He had just the right amount of slime to his character.
Yep.
Yeah. He's great. He's fantastic. Yeah. He's one of my favorite characters in that movie.
So my original question was, why did the dad all of a sudden flip out of the beginning and decide that while the girl was away at school, he was going to flush the alligator down the toilet? Like,
I
she
know,
did that's something wrong.
Because he wanted a hamster.
Yeah,
that's what he said. He's going, look at her hamster.
She did something. I can't. She left something out. I don't remember now what it was. Because I do feel like that took me off guard.
There was a line.
So like you leave the lights on before you walk out of the house, and all of a sudden I'm going to take your baby alligator and throw it down the toilet.
Right.
That's
going to kill your pet if you do.
The punishment doesn't exactly fit the crime.
It was a cute alligator, though. Come on. That little alligator was horrible.
Yeah, if they stay that
it
little.
It was.
Yeah.
I would have one.
Yeah.
You're a sizist. I love the alley. Even when he grows up, he's cute. Come on. Yeah. I love animals. They're cute. Sorry.
Although when he grows up to the size of, let's face it, an elephant,
he shouldn't.
He shouldn't be that difficult to find when he's walking through the streets of their town.
No, I would think so. Yeah, he seems to become incognito pretty easily.
Yeah.
For an alligator.
Guys, they didn't have internet. They didn't have Twitter. How could people talk about it?
They didn't have eyes, Joe.
They just had to walk down the street. You know, it's the only giant alligator in town today.
I don't think
today.
You needed Twitter to see that alligator walking. Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Now, had this movie been called Chameleon, I would have bought that concept. But no, this thing's bigger than a Buick, so.
How great was that scene when the alligator came out of the sidewalk, though, and he got the kids there,
right.
And then the cop is like, misses the kids, and the cop car blows up, and then this kid that was our age when this movie came out, runs into his apartment, grabs a knife, just like E.T. when the coyotes are out there, he's going, and the mom's like, don't grab the knife. And he's like running out there. I thought it was just a fun little Gen X, you know, like this is what we did back in the day. You know,
we fought alligators.
Yeah.
We fought alligators.
We could take knives out of the kitchen anytime we wanted. There's
I don't think kids would this, you know, these days.
There's one guy. His actual name's Dean Jagger. The guy that was
James. The James Bond villain?
Yeah, the guy who's the CEO of the Slade Corporation, was responsible for making, you know, he's like Big Pharma. They were the ones, you know, that were essentially responsible for this giant alligator.
Right.
This guy's got a backstory because his daughter is getting married to the head scientist, coincidentally, in the same town. So this multimillionaire who's the CEO of Slade Corporation is having this wedding reception in his backyard, but yet he's the one grilling steaks on the grill for his guests to enjoy. Yeah. Apparently, he's his own caterer.
There are certain types of human beings that will not let anybody cook on their grill.
I just would have figured that since he hired all these other caterers that were walking around, you know, butlers and waiters, and you know, he would have been able to hire a chef to take care of the food prep too. But
you'd think,
but he got what he deserved. He got his just desserts. Yeah,
he definitely did. So did the alligator.
We haven't even brought up the chief of the police.
Oh, what a dick!
Yeah,
he's from Godfather Part Two.
Yeah, but he was a dick. He fired his head detective all because the Slade CEO guy told him, you know, he's getting a little too close to the action.
I love how he talks. I love how he talks.
Or something. Yeah, he played, I can't remember the name of the character that he played in Godfather Part 2, but yeah.
He was the protected mobster, the protective witness. I don't know anything. I don't know this. I don't know that. He slits his wrists in the bathtub.
Yeah.
He's great. He's great.
I won't get into that. So let's move along. The third movie is Cujo from 1983. And this is, of course, from the famous Stephen King book that he doesn't even remember having written because he was so deeply into his alcoholism at the time. He does not remember having written the book at all, he claims. This is one with starring Dee Wallace. I think she gives a fantastic performance.
So good,
Joe. This is a tale of two movies, by the way, because the first half or the first half hour or so of this movie is I didn't remember how boring the family drama was of the first half part of this movie. And then when we get to the farm, when they're in the Pinto, that is when I would love to see a remake of this one, because I think that there's a lot more they could have done or they could do now with those scenes in the Pinto. Like that one setting situation, like in your movie Fall that you guys saw, or in 20, what is it? Something Meters Down. The one, the
28
the
Meters
one,
Down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mandy Moore
movie where they're stuck down at the bottom of the ocean. Those kinds of movies where there's one setting, I think there was more that they could have done there and utilize that. I felt like the setup to get there, it took too long to get there, to me anyway. And I hadn't seen this in quite some time, so I really didn't remember any of that about it. But I thought once they get to the farm – and they're in the Pinto, which is funny because the dad, I mean, I can see why she had an affair on him. The dad's driving around a Jaguar, and he seems to be doing pretty well. And she's forced to drive a Pinto around.
Yeah.
Like,
get out of here. Crappy one.
Get out of here.
Yeah. So
the Jaguar didn't even work either. He had to get repair on it. It was just
it was a Jaguar,
like,
but it was an expensive car.
Yeah.
It was probably his, like, his college years, teenage years.
You're reading into it. Yeah.
Reading into it.
Matt, I will say, like, for me, it's weird because I actually had a different, slightly different reaction because I kind of liked the family drama. I kind of liked it because I remember liking it as a kid. I remember kind of getting it because to me, and this is just, again, I get why it does it. It kind of feels like something different, though, like a different film. But in the same time, I like the fact that they painted her as this kind of imperfect person who is just.
You're a fucking hypocrite. You are a fucking hypocrite. So Fatal Attraction with Michael Douglas, who cheats on.
That guy's a dick. Fuck him.
But it's okay for Wallace to cheat on her husband?
Yeah, that guy was a dick, man.
It was a better drama.
Now let's give the guy a break, the husband, because he's got a very important job. He's trying to sell Sharp cereal to kids.
Yes, exactly. Literally,
the name of the cereal is called Sharp Cereal Company. Just doesn't sound appetizing.
No, it doesn't.
No, it really sounds terrible. It sounds
like cereal to me.
And he earned that Jag, you know.
Yeah. That's his hard work.
Yeah.
You have the Pinto.
Yeah, what my big note is, let's drive 1978 Ford Pinto. I also wanted to point out, just to carry on from Jimmy's episode, that this is also starring a very young Billy Jane. You guys would remember him as one of the killers from Bloody Birthday, who later on grew up to Mikey Randall.
Cujo's boy owner.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Mm-hmm. He's good in this. He's actually really good in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I thought he was good in Bloody Birthday. I really did. I thought he was like the best kid actor out of all of them.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
I thought the boy, Dee Wallace's son, I thought he was pretty effective.
He's great in it.
He's excellent. Both Dee Wallace and that kid give astoundingly good performances in this movie. They really...
Who's the Boss.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
And my note is that kid is a wuss. That's all I wrote.
Are you serious, Joe?
Yeah.
Really?
Cries
and
everything.
How was he a wuss?
Well, he was just afraid of the dark, and you know, at the beginning of the movie. And
are you telling me that you've never like turned off the light and jumped so the boogie monster hand didn't grab your ankles and drag you underneath the bed? You never done that?
No, I never did that.
You call yourself a boogie monster?
The boogie monster. I ain't scared of nothing.
That's a butt clencher right there.
Yeah.
Go chance.
If there's a monster under the bed, he might as well kill me now.
Mark's a wuss.
The hell with it.
All right, so...
I'll just light a cigarette and say, fuck you.
But I did think...
What?
Actually, this was only 90... I felt like this felt like it was a longer movie than 93 minutes, but once they get to the farm, I really liked it a lot, so...
That's cool. Yeah.
I thought the most funny thing about this Cujo movie was the dad... who didn't have to deal with any kind of trauma besides his wife cheating on him. And he goes off and he comes back and everything's already done. It's like, I thought it was going to be a buildup where he's going to like save the day. And he just shows mm-hmm. up and everything's already done. And, and D. Wallace is just like, take the kid. And then it just shuts off.
I have a different take on the storyline because I would have loved to have seen this story retold from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to have seen the story told from the dog owner's family's perspective, where because I thought that the dad, the alcoholic dad, who was just an absolute jackass to everyone, including his own mm-hmm. family, I thought he was an extremely interesting character. Same he thing was. With the mother that won the yeah. lottery and all she wanted to do was, you know, she bought her husband a gift, a very expensive gift that they could not have afforded otherwise. And I just can't imagine that relationship between the two of them warranted a gift like that. And she did it all so that she could get away for a week to go see her sister and take her son. That yeah. whole dynamic of that family would have been a wonderful perspective to tell the story from. And then coincidentally, their dog gets rabies. And I mean, you could just go on from there. We wouldn't have even needed this whole D. Wallace and the kid story. They could have still, the dog could have been randomly killing anybody or threatening yeah, anybody.
Sure. Absolutely, Jim.
But I would
Absolutely.
Have loved a backstory on that original family.
Did you guys read the book at all or no?
No.
My
book
brother
is heartbreaking.
The first
it's
paperback
heartbreaking.
Version, first edition.
Yeah, I read it. I've read it. It is a downer of an ending. Oh my God. It's a downer.
Did they die?
I don't even want to.
Don't tell
Do you
Mark.
Want me to spoil it? Like
no,
I can.
Don't, no.
Yeah, like don't spoil because people might. No, it's a damn depressing like ending of a book. I'm just like, wow, this sucks. So I like the movie. I prefer the ending to the movie.
I do want to read the book now that Matt said that Stephen King was absolutely jacked up on coke and doesn't remember writing.
It was alcohol,
now.
By the way.
Yeah, alcohol.
I thought it was cocaine.
No.
Here's a couple little tidbits. The original novel was a sequel of sorts following The Dead Zone. Since Frank Dodd.
What?
Did you guys see The Dead
yeah,
Zone?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they do
yeah,
mention Frank Dodd. That makes
since
sense.
Frank Dodd. Well, it's all in Castle Rock, and a lot of his stories mm-hmm. are set there. Since Frank Dodd was killed, he became a kind of boogeyman in Castle Rock and supposedly haunted Tad. It is hinted that Dodd possessed Cujo. Sheriff George Bannerman, played by Sandy Ward here, makes a specific reference to the Dead Zone hero Johnny Smith. Both this movie and the Dead Zone were developed at the exact same time, with this movie released 2 months before by different studios. So the references were removed from the movies. At one point, the script for Cujo came to acclaimed horror director John Carpenter. However, Carpenter passed on it so that he could do Christine instead, which came out, I believe, just the same year.
Yeah. I'm glad that happened because John Carpenter killed it with Christine.
Yeah, that was great. Although I would have loved to have seen what he did with Cujo as well.
Oh,
but
that would have been great.
Okay.
John Carpenter.
So the next one we have moving along is a movie that I didn't love, but I kind of liked, and that is Razorback from 1984. This is kind of a convoluted story, I guess, but it starts out, this guy goes to visit his grandson, and a giant wild boar breaks into their house, steals the grandson away, and eats him. The grandpa is put on trial for murder. He was found not guilty because of insufficient evidence. And he spends the rest of his life trying to hunt down this giant wild boar, which it seems like you'd be able to find this wild boar because it's massive and there isn't a lot of tree cover in that area. But anyway, there also is a storyline about a pet food factory that uses dead animals to create their pet food, and they go out hunting wild boars and all the all kinds of stuff to just use them to create pet food. And so this woman goes down there to do a documentary about this corruption, and she films a couple of the guys making the pet food, and they hunt her down and attempt to assault her, sexually assault her, but it gets interrupted by the boar, who winds up eating her. Her husband comes down to look for her, find any evidence, and he gets caught up with these two guys. And then this movie really takes a turn. The two guys that work at the pet food store are really strange characters, and I kind of loved them. I mean, as awful as they were, especially the one guy was terrible. They were interesting, and and I was like, man, this really feels like The Road Warrior to me in parts. The way that truck looks, the way it moves, the way the camera work was done, the cinematography, and it turns out the cinematographer is the guy who did the cinematographer for The Road Warrior.
I just assumed that's what Australia really looks like, because that is every movie exactly. I've seen shot there. It's just a big island with nothing but Road Warrior.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that the director also directed Hungry Like the Wolf, Duran Duran.
Right.
You mean New Moon on Monday.
Yeah.
You meet Mark, wrong song.
No, he did. It was Hungry Like the Wolf.
No, New Moon on Monday.
No, that was a song. That was a song that played on the movie.
Yeah, that was in the movie, but the director directed
Hungry Like the Wolf.
Yeah, he did Hungry Like the Wolf. Let's see. This stars. George Harrison, or Gregory Harrison, is in it. Archie Whiteley, and this is kind of an interesting story. She's the one that he walks up on, and she's taking a shower outside, and he bumps into her. And well, originally she had refused to do the nude scene, so the director hired a body double instead, and to film her taking the shower. And after they filmed the scene, she asked how it went. She asked the director, how did it go with the body double? And he said, oh, it's fine. But he mentioned that she had a little cellulite around the waist. And so she said, no, I can't have that. I don't want people thinking that's my body. So she agreed. Then they reshot it with her doing the nude scene instead.
Oh,
well, she's beautiful, by the way. And she's also from Mad Max, The Road Warrior. She's the one with the bandana around her head.
She's
from because I was like, I know her from somewhere. Absolutely. And she passed away I think it was like 2003 too.
The downfall, of course, of this movie is that they built several Razorbacks, including one that's supposed to be moving around, and it just never worked. So there's very little footage of the actual Razorback, and when there is, he's usually standing behind something. Just like Jaws, they had problems with their mechanical creature. But unlike Jaws, they didn't have an ocean and barrels to save them from that. However, a big fan of this movie was Steven Spielberg. In fact, he called the director to find out how he did some of the shots. Quentin Tarantino likes it too.
The dream sequence, though, it's like this so out of the...
Yeah, it was very strange, right?
What was going on with that?
Psychedelic, like, horse skeleton thing?
Yeah,
in there?
Just, like, right. Popping up, and then he had, like, these huge, like, horrible, like, mountains. Like, it was, like, animated mountains or, like, rocks coming out of the desert. And
it's fascinating.
It was fascinating. I was just like,
very bizarre.
Like, what is going on? I mean, I guess he's having like a heat stroke or something, but it was just so out of the blue. I thought this movie was really like well shot, but
did you like I could see that it would be a beautiful film to see, because there were certain shots that almost reminded me of Gone with the Wind, with some of the trees in the foreground and their silhouette up against the weird sky behind. And I thought, you know, the versions I rented it twice unfortunately, because I rented it first time on Amazon, and I thought that the picture was so awful on Amazon that I rented it again on Apple TV Plus, and it was actually a little better. But I've heard that they have a 4K Blu-ray, and even though I gave it 3 stars, I liked it-ish, but I don't necessarily know if I want to watch it again, but I'd love to watch it just to see if my experience would be a little different if it was a really clear picture, because the picture I got was not.
I just can't believe you said Razorback and Gone with the Wind in the same sentence.
I was like, what?
Yeah, I mean, I think of those two all the time. It's
double feature. All the time.
Some of the shots.
Holy shit. I thought this was gonna be like a different movie when I first started watching it. It's when the old guy is with his son. He put his son in the crib, and then I'm thinking, okay, a razorback. I didn't even know what a razorback was until Joe and Matt like explained it to me. Yeah, it's a boar with long tusks, and then this thing is a freight train. It blows up a fucking house. It's like, what? Like, how did that even happen? And then there was a great scene when a house is literally cut in half and you see the TV going off in the distance.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that scene? Yeah. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, there were some interesting shots in this. I don't know.
There was some great shots in it. It's like, and I looked at the reviews and it's kind of high up there. This is like very well endeared, like as a cult classic.
Yeah, it is definitely. I think it's become a bit of a cult classic.
It's kind of Joe, the art house version of a. Sorry, I was gonna say from my memory, it's kind of the art. It was the art house man versus nature film, which was a little higher regarded than most of them.
Yeah, definitely than most of that genre. It's a weird movie, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joe.
Yeah, it's very weird.
I didn't care for it. I was bored. I thought Trapper John M.D. Forgot about the whole reason he went over looking for her too
that's
quickly.
True. When he saw that girl showering, by the way.
Yeah, this guy just travels around the globe to go find his wife, and he sees a tour guide or whatever she was, you know, taking a shower. Then all of a sudden, what wife? I totally forgot. Why am I here again?
Why am I here?
That's how hot she was.
Oh,
she was pretty hot.
I didn't think the story was that strong that I could have relied on the story alone without the Razorback, which I kept waiting to see. And it was when you did see it, it was terrible. But you know, I get it. It's Bruce the Shark. It didn't work. You know, that would really
suck to make a movie that depended on that creature to work, and then you get into shooting and the creature doesn't work. Like that would be hard to deal with.
Yeah, I get it, but that's why I didn't like it.
Yeah,
so
it was my least favorite out of all of them, though.
Like you know. I realized that in Jaws, and these are all models of Jaws, but in Jaws, you hardly see the shark. I get it. But
yeah.
Spielberg did such a fantastic job of building suspense and tension that it was irrelevant.
Yeah.
These other movies, this one.
Script.
Yes.
Well, yeah,
an
yeah.
Impeccable script. So.
These other movies like Grizzly and Razorback, they were unable to catch that lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So... Yeah. You know, nowadays you could have pulled off this same script, but with a working either robot Razorback or CGI or something, and it could have improved.
Yeah.
This is a movie that could be remade, I think.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Okay, well, we're moving along to a little movie from 2007, jumping all the way out of the 80s into 2007 for Rogue. This is directed by Greg McLean, who also directed The Belko Experiment and Wolf Creek, which Wolf Creek was one of the more disturbing films that I'd seen. did you guys all see Wolf Creek?
I did. I want to just... quickly give Greg a shout out. He's one of the coolest guys in the world, and I personally like I have a love for this guy. So I loved Wolf Creek. He also did the sequel, which was pretty awesome, and he also did a series based on Wolf Creek, which was actually pretty good too. Talented dude.
Love Wolf Creek. I thought it was a little mean spirited for my taste, but
fair enough.
He's
not like that, by the way. He's not like that guy.
They never are. They never are. But I just thought it was a bit much to me.
Yeah, it's pretty mean.
Let's see. So, of course, this is a pretty simple premise. A group of tourists, they go into a remote Australian river on a tour, and of course, they get stuck. On that tour, and they begin to be pursued and ultimately eaten one by one by a wild crocodile in the rivers of Australia, and a rather large crocodile as well. I don't think he grew as big as the alligator in Alligator, but he was pretty big and very aggressive. This I thought was a fun movie. I thought it was very well made, very well shot. I liked the main girl. I thought she was good. And
Radha Mitchell.
Yeah, Radha Mitchell.
Yeah. She's also in Silent Hill, which I know you guys haven't seen, but I loved her in it. And I didn't realize until I saw her in this film that she's actually from Australia.
So anyway, Joe, what did you think of this?
I liked it. I wouldn't compare this to Jaws. I would compare this to Speed.
Yeah.
You know, Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Because of how they, like all the characters on the bus in Speed, they were all these stereotypes, these archetypes of people.
Yeah.
And, It kind of seems like they're just stacking the deck with a bunch of different common people in hopes that the audience will find someone that they relate with. Like, oh, I'm rooting for this person, or oh, I'm rooting for that person. And they all have their quirks. They all have their hangups.
Right.
And then, of course, you've got the, you know, the leader. And, you know, that's our Radha Mitchell and Michael Vartan, I think was his name.
Yeah.
But anyway, I enjoyed it. It wasn't trying to be anything else, although it's similar to Speed.
Pure entertainment.
Exactly. Yeah. This is like what I would consider Fall to be. It's pure entertainment. Right. I was enjoying myself. I knew what I was going to get, and I got it, and I was happy with it. So there were some very tense moments in it.
Yep.
I would have liked to have seen, of course, a little bit more blood and gore, but that's just a personal thing. I still think it stands on its own 2 feet quite well. So I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Did you get to see this one, Jimmy, or no? Was this one that you
did? I did. Yeah. Oh, you did. Oh, okay. This is what I got to watch. It was fun seeing Sam Worthington, young Sam Worthington. Like, I forgot that he was in this movie.
Right.
I agree with you guys. I mean, there was a couple times you know what I liked about some of the characters that were so annoying is that you had fun being annoyed by them, especially the one woman on the ropes. You're just like, just move.
Yep.
Right.
You're like, stop. But I liked it. And Radha Mitchell, I think, is a really, really tremendous actress. And I always enjoy seeing her in everything. And Michael Vartan plays a pretty solid hero. This is a well cast film. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's not perfect, but it's, you know, like you guys said, it's got that kind of just fun popcorn movie. It's a pure entertainment flick.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So,
Mark?
I actually enjoyed this film. It was pretty corny at the beginning. I didn't like the music. It kept on repeating. I'm just going, oh, this is going to be one of those. I thought I was watching a Tubi film for quite a bit. Even after meeting Sam Worthington and his buddy, like, you know, Worthington, like, mooning. It's like, what's the point of this? And it wasn't until they got on the little island that I started to enjoy this film. And the water's rushing up. And with the tow line. But what really got me with this film And I love the fact that Joe said this is kind of like Speed. He's dead on, like 100%. I never realized that until Joe just said that. Yeah, it's a Speed movie. But I absolutely was tickled pink when he went into the lair with the crocodile, and the dog led him. You see the dead bodies and whatnot. It was like a dragon in a cave, mm-hmm. and just a person. It was like a Bilbo Baggins with smog, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It was just, I thought it was so well done, very tense, and that ending was just absolutely phenomenal for me. I really enjoyed it, and that's basically why, like, I recommend this movie. It's just because of the end. I thought the CGI was really good with the crocodile.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
You guys don't feel that way with Smog, Bilbo?
No, no, I didn't really see that sure. too much. But,
you didn't see that?
Mm-mm. And I didn't think, it didn't feel to me like a Tubi movie at all to begin with. But I thought it was.
For me, I was just like, oh, gosh. I thought the acting was bad. Just like Speed, in the movie Speed, the acting was bad. It was like those typical characters, like, you know, Joe said. I didn't care much for the characters. I laughed a little bit when I saw the guy take off his shirt and it said the man with the arrow going up and the legend going down. I thought that was kind of funny. I chuckled, but it was okay.
That was the character that Mark related to. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm just saying that I didn't think the acting was that
great. Joe,
you're
supposed to be on the soundboard, Joe.
Well, do it in post.
I didn't.
Can we get him a shirt that says that? Can we get him a shirt? I want him a shirt.
I didn't give a shit about the characters that much. I really didn't. It's like I didn't care who died or who didn't. But the lair scene was, I thought, was really brilliantly done. That's all.
There you go.
All right. So the next one, or actually the last one,
the last one
is a little ditty called Backcountry. Which has a pretty small cast, only four people in it, and I really only three mainly. This is, of course, a couple goes out into the country to go to a place where I think the husband has been to before, supposedly, but he doesn't bring a map with him. They wind up getting lost out camping. They run into a guide who I think is a bit of a red herring or a MacGuffin or whatever. And you think that for a minute that he's going to be the danger.
I think you mean Casanova.
Yeah, but you think he's going to be the real danger, a bit of a creeper maybe or whatever. And of course, it turns out that they become stalked by a bear. And I think we should probably get into some spoilers with this because there's a scene in this that I kind of think really makes the movie. And so if you haven't watched it, stop this now until you watch it and then come back. Unless you just don't care. But there's a scene that the couple is in the tent and they've been pursued by this bear and it's come to around their campsite a few days now when they sleep. And at night, or I think it was in the next morning, right? They see the bear coming towards them. And so they zip up their tent and they're waiting. The bear comes and basically breaks in. And it's a horrifying bear attack. I thought the first time I saw this with Michelle, we were really like shocked by it, and the bear pulls the husband out and just eats him out there outside, and I thought that it was very realistically done and semi-disturbing, I thought, but it was a pretty gruesome bear attack. I liken it to Quint being eaten by the shark, but way more brutal than that. So I thought that, and then of course the rest of the movie is the wife trying to get away while the bear is pursuing her. And I really enjoyed it. I thought that that scene at night where the guide comes and they sit with him, I thought that was a pretty intense scene and a pretty subtle scene. And then of course that once the action really gets going, it's edge of your seat, I thought. So, what'd you guys think?
Oh, I'll go. I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought the cinematography was fantastic. Some of the camera shots inside the tent when the bear is at him really makes you feel extremely claustrophobic.
Yeah.
And some of the cinematography that they had outside in the forest was just absolutely gorgeous.
Right.
One of my notes is Alex, who's the boyfriend, I should say, is Alex is a fucking idiot, is what I wrote down.
Oh, yeah.
Because, oh my God, I could honestly put myself in his shoes some of the times. Like when, you know, he's out there with his girlfriend and all of a sudden some stranger walks up to their campsite and she invites him to stay for dinner. I'm like,
right.
What are you nuts?
What are you doing?
Yeah. He could be a date rapist for all you know.
I would have been so pissed off at my girlfriend inviting some guy, stranger, to dinner. It's like, absolutely not. It's like,
especially when he's flirting with her too.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Like, blatantly, like, what are you doing?
Blatantly.
Yeah.
I was so pissed off. It's like, and I could picture myself in that situation, and I would have brought her into the tent. And I'm just going, I'm telling him he needs to leave. That's what I would have done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was so oblivious. And okay, go on, Joe. I'm sorry.
Well, let me just.
It really
add,
pissed
really
me quick. Off because I've been in that kind of situation before.
Let me just add really quickly that he's definitely a better, like, a husband material than Michael Douglas in Fatal Attraction. But other than that.
Both of the actors in this, the main two, the boyfriend, girlfriend, were tremendous. Extremely believable.
Yeah. Yep.
I knew absolutely. Damn well that he was going up. The whole point of this was to propose. And, you know, the reason I think he's an idiot is because why not take the map? You go, you talk to the park rangers. They give you the option to take the map. It doesn't cost anything.
Dumb.
Throw it in your backpack. What do you got to lose? Just take the damn map. And you know what? You got lost. And now you're dead because of it. So I hope you learned your lesson now that you're dead. But what was the harm in taking it, especially when you're trying to make this trip so perfect so you can propose to your girlfriend, who's way too good for you? What you blew it. You totally blew it. You deserve to die.
Yeah. You know, he's friends with Michael from Blair Witch, so they have the same problem.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Really embarrassing. Yeah.
No, Michael should not be blamed for Blair Witch at all. But I want to get back to some of the red herrings and all that. When it said based on a true story and they're going off in the canoe at the very beginning of the film, I was going, oh, he's going to try to kill her. I didn't know this was going to be a grizzly or a black bear film. I thought he was going to, like, there was some reason he was going to murder her. And I don't know if it was because of past news that I've heard, like, years ago or whatnot, but I thought that he was going to, like, murder her because there were some glances back in the canoe looking at her and whatnot. And so,
but the theme of this week was when animals attack.
Well, a human is an animal, by the way. I thought, like, maybe something was going to happen with something. We are mammals. So, anyways, go on.
When is anyone done when humans attack yet for a topic? Because I might dog ear that one.
That was
later.
Pretty much every other episode that we've done. That would be Sherry Markers and The Shining and Hereditary.
You were saying something, Mark?
Yeah.
Mark, go on, please.
Yeah, finish your thought. Okay.
When Mark's attack.
I don't know what my thought was. No. So anyway, so when,
there we go.
So what I would like to say about this film is what Backcountry did for me was when the bear does attack and it's the mauling scene, I watched it probably five times. I just kept on rewinding and keep rewinding because it was one of these times where the first time I saw it, I was gasping. I did not like what I was watching, but I had to watch it again because there was cut scenes where it, you guys remember American Werewolf in London and where he's getting torn apart by, you know, a werewolf. This scene was so heartbreaking. And when he's screaming to his his fiance, to his girl, run, run. And they cut back to him and then half his face is torn apart and his eyeballs hanging out. And you know this happens. When I watched that scene, I thought getting eaten by a shark was the worst thing possible. Absolutely not. It's a fucking bear. I would never, ever walk in the woods alone again after watching this film.
We should never hike alone.
Life.
Yes.
Never hike alone, too.
Yeah.
I'm done.
All right.
No, anyways, I thought this was my favorite film out of all of them. Really big surprise. I really, really enjoyed it. And what a horrific scene. And
brilliantly done. Brilliantly done. That scene was just one of the best I've seen.
When she runs back and sees, you know, just like American Werewolf in London, and he goes, Jack, and he turns around, you know, to look at, you know, maybe, you know, he could do something. And she did the same thing. And with that black bear just growling and you see her fiance's or boyfriend's body there.
Yeah.
You can't get it out of your head.
Yeah. Yeah. Why I said it was, I thought it was a pretty disturbing attack scene. And one of the more brutal animal attack, I think maybe the most brutal animal attack scenes I've seen in any of these kind of movies. Yeah.
Well, Piranha, the remake is pretty bloody. That was more cheesy gore.
Yeah, no, your emotional investment isn't the same. So, it's all of it builds that, you know, to make that.
It's amazing what you can do when you actually give a fuck about the two people on screen. It's nice. Yeah. It's a nice thing.
All right. Well, that is the end of Animals Attack for this week. And so our next episode is going to be Mr. Joe Jan's episode. And Joe, why don't you tell us what your pick is for next episode?
Okay, I'm going to make a short answer really long. So originally I had this whole different idea where we were going to do fear-based movies, phobia movies, which is partly why I was looking forward to seeing Fall because of Fear of Heights. I had like phobia trivia and everything all planned out. And then it dawned on me that my kids are starting school. My wife's a school teacher. So I pulled an audible at the last minute and started pulling back to school horror movies. So that is going to be our theme.
Beautiful.
And I started researching this and I came up with like 30 before I just stopped of different, you know, horror movies that major scenes or the whole thing takes place in a school. So, now normally what I would pick out of that list is, you know, like some hidden gems or ones I've never seen, because that's typically what we try to focus on here. I'm scrapping that too. This time, you've probably seen all these movies, but I want you to watch them again because the four of us and our listeners have never talked about them before. So there'll probably be no shockers, no surprises, but here is my list. So the first one is The Faculty, and that is on HBO Max. The next one, Prom Night, which is currently on Shudder. The next one, Jennifer's Body, that's on Amazon Prime.
Excellent.
The next one is Carrie, which is also on Shudder. We're watching the original, not the remake or remakes.
Thank you.
And then we are watching Donnie Darko, which is on HBO Max, a personal favorite of mine. And then, of course, thank you to Matt for giving me this idea. Even though I don't like werewolf movies, this is a must. We're going to watch Teen Wolf. which is on Fubo TV.
Love you.
Oh, wow, it's on Fubo?
Fubo. Yeah.
Excellent.
So fun. There's your six. The Faculty, Prom Night, Jennifer's Body, Carrie, Donnie Darko, and Teen Wolf.
What is Donnie Darko?
Donnie Darko is Jake Gyllenhaal. You've never seen that? Really?
It's great.
Frank the Rabbit. It's a
great,
wonderful
weird
movie. There's also Patrick Swayze's in it. Who's the little girl from E.T.? I'm drawing a blank.
Drew Barrymore's
in it.
What? Yeah.
Noah Wiley's in it from ER.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
It's a great movie.
And yeah, it's a great movie.
Jake Gyllenhaal and his sister is in it.
Yeah. It's one of Jake Gyllenhaal's early movies.
Yeah. It's a fantastic film. It's really bizarre.
Is this the movie with Tears for Fears?
Yes. That's the one.
I haven't seen it, but I've seen like videos of everybody doing Donnie Darko. I've heard of this film. I know it's a cult classic.
Now you finally have an opportunity to watch it.
Well, yep. Thank you.
All right. Well, that sounds like a really good choice, and that will be in 2 weeks. That we'll be doing that one. So that'll be, it'll be released September. That'll be the first, that'll be September 2nd when it's released, Joe. It's getting exciting.
Is it significant?
We're into
prom
fall,
night
Joe.
Either.
Oh, yes, of course. September, October, November are all fall.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we have killed another episode, so we will see
Great picks, Matt.
Oh, thank you, sir. And we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Good night, everyone. It's a butt clencher. Got an erection. Planes of the side of my face.